Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, I'm Whitney Port and this is With Wit. A lot of you may know me from reality TV, and the reality is a lot's happened since The Hills. With Wit is dedicated to having real, raw, and occasionally ridiculous conversations with the people who have had a profound impact on me. Life-changing moments, life-changing people. Because on With Wit, very little is off limits. Hi everyone, it's Wit, and welcome to With Wit. If you guys follow me on social media, you know that Sunny started school. He goes to a portable classroom at someone's house 2 days a week, but is starting full-time in January at preschool. The portable class has been a great experience, and I can't express how relieved I am for him to start going full-time because he really, really loves it and he's ready for it. Timmy and I have done a lot of research on schools so we can find what is the best fit for the three of us. That's why I'm so excited to share my next guest with you. Today, I'm sitting with Diane Tavener. She is the co-founder and CEO of Summit Public Schools, a leading network of public schools that operates 11 schools in California and Washington, as well as a free program that enables schools across the U.S. to implement Summit Learning, its nationally recognized personalized approach to teaching and learning. She is the author of Prepared, What Kids Need for a Fulfilled Life. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here with you.
I'm so excited to have you because it is such a pivotal time in my life right now as Sunny stops going to this portable classroom that is essentially, I don't want to call it like a daycare, but he goes to someone's house with five other kids. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of different art projects. So it's very free-flowing and easy and artsy. And actually in January, a spot opened up at the Montessori school that we wanted him to go to. So we're pulling him out of the portable classroom and putting him into this five-day-a-week school. It's a little bit scary, but exciting at the same time. So it is just so timely that I sit down with you. I think the first thing that I really want to know about is, what is Summit Learning? What was it based on and what made you want to start it?
Yeah. And I think your introduction into Montessori is going to be really resonant with this story, because the whole idea behind Summit, and Summit was started by hundreds of parents who came together and said, you know, we want something different from our kids. We're looking around at all the schools and they have bits and pieces of what we want, but they don't have the whole package of what we want. And what that is ultimately they wanted their kids to be ready for a good life. You know, as parents, what do we care about? We care about our kids being happy.
Exactly. Right? I was just going to say, we just want them to be happy.
We just want them to be
and
happy.
And like respectful and good people, kind hearts.
And we want them to be able to, you know, take care of themselves. We don't want them living in our basement for the rest of their life.
And be codependent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we ultimately want them to be happy. And so we want schools that care about them and love them, and where we know they're happy there every day, but they're also getting them ready for the future to be happy. And so that was the premise of Summit from the very beginning. How can we prepare kids with the academic skills they need, for sure, but also the habits of successful people, like being respectful and managing their time and setting goals and achieving them. And then also with the social emotional skills and the people skills that they need. And how do we help them know who they are and what they care about and what matters to them? And so we just sought to bring all those things together in a schooling experience that partnered with families so that we could get our kids prepared for life, ultimately. And so that is the premise of Summit, the schools we run, and then the program that we created to help other schools do what we were doing, give them the tools and the resources that we had in order to do that.
Amazing. So what are some of those things that help? You know, like, what are those pivotal things that make you guys different from other schools? I mean, one in Montessori school, I walked in, I took three different tours, actually four different tours of preschool. I kind of limited it because I was like, my head is going to explode if I have too many choices. And I walked into the Montessori school and like it immediately just felt right. Like tears, you know, started coming. And my husband and I looked at each other and we were like, oh my gosh. There was something just like so unified about the school. The kids were helping each other. Yes. They were serving each other snacks. Yes. They were calm. They were independent. Playing. It just wasn't what I had envisioned a preschool to be, which the other tours were. And no offense to them, obviously I won't name any names, but it was very much like glitter everywhere and 102.7, which is our pop station, playing on the radio and just like kind of frantic and all over the place. And I just feel like Montessori has that really great mix of Scholastic as well as just creating a good human. So Scholastic aside, what are some of those pivotal things that Summit does to create that, especially for toddlers, you know, that will be helpful for me
for
to do?
For sure. And I think what's good for toddlers goes all the way through for high school kids. And I think some of the things you're saying will really resonate. There's sort of four big core elements of Summit schools. And the first is that the learning is really project-based in nature. It's very hands-on. It's very real. So I'm sure that's what you were seeing in Montessori, is kids are doing real things in real life. And you can play that all the way out up to high school, where our seniors are doing projects in environmental sciences where they're literally designing cities of the future. And they're applying the science to that. And so, but these are real questions that they have. Our kids are worried about our planet. They're thinking about what our communities are going to look like. And so real world learning, hands-on learning, number one. Number two, self-directed. And so what you saw there in the school that you went to visit was kids really owning their own learning, even at that little age. They can start to say, well, what do I want to learn today? And how am I going to direct my own learning? And how am I going to make choices? And Montessori does a great job of building those skills in kids. Oftentimes, our schools actually disincentivize kids from that. So if you think about most normal schools that people go to, we tell kids, show up at this time, sit in this desk, do this worksheet, read this chapter, answer these questions, speak when you raise your hand and we call on it. We don't empower kids to really direct and own their own learning. So a key element of Summit is that kids are owning their own learning and they're building the skills to do that for the rest of their life. And then the third thing you pointed to is collaboration. Learning is a social activity. People learn from others and with others and by engaging with others. And so really learning how to collaborate with other people is not only important for learning, but it's the future of work, you know, people collaborating with each other. And then finally, a key element of learning is reflection. So the ability to think on what you've been doing and then plan forward with that, and really what did I like about what I just did? What did I not like? What did I accomplish? What didn't I accomplish? What do I want to do better next time? What do I want to keep doing? Those types of reflective skills that very often happen with a mentor or a coach or a guide are the really the four cornerstones of a Summit experience that kind of sound obvious if you're a parent, but actually not what you've find in schools very often, sadly.
It's actually really true. I mean, those things are things that I think I thought about, but I didn't know exactly how to verbalize.
And now a word from our brand partner. So
It feels like everybody and their mother is coming out with some sort of CBD product, and navigating the world of CBD can be really, really complicated. At Feels, their premium CBD will keep your head clear and help you feel your best. If you guys don't already know, CBD has been proven to greatly reduce anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. When I feel a headache coming on or I feel a little jittery, I use the Feels and my body just like instantly relaxes. I can't really explain it, but it does something to relax my whole system, and I love it. It is delivered directly to your doorstep. All you have to do is place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. If you're new to CBD, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience. It's especially helpful when you have something really specific and you have lots of questions. It's so nice to know that there's a company that's really there to support you on a personal level. It works completely naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, no hangover, or addiction. You can join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Here's the deal. You can become a member and get 50% off your first order. Feels has me feeling my best every day and every time I take it, and it can really help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/withwit, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's Feels, FEALS.com/withwit to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. One more time, that's feels.com/withwit. And now back to our conversation.
As a parent, do you ever wish someone could just whisper some realistic and trustworthy support in your ear and not make you feel awful for not having all the answers? Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm Dr. Aliza Pressman, developmental psychologist, parent educator, clinical professor, and I'm a mom. My goal is to make your parenting journey less overwhelming and a lot more joyful. Please join me every Friday for new episodes of Raising Good Humans.
So what would be some of the questions that people could ask when they go on tours or when they're thinking about what school to send their kids to? What are the questions they can ask to make sure that their environment fosters this type of learning?
Yeah, I think a couple that come to my mind are, one, you want to ask, what do they believe the kids are capable of? Mm-hmm. So what do you expect of the kids in terms of their own learning? And, you know, if you hear words like, we have very strict classroom management. Just think about that word for a moment. Like, we're managing the children mm-hmm. in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a very rules-based environment, if you see a lot of very prescriptive type rules, as opposed to what we would call a more principle-based environment, where you have principles like we treat each other with respect.
Right.
That's not a rule. That's a principle. I mean, you know it when you see it, but it's very different than keep your hands to yourself.
Right. Or, well, that's so hard. I mean, especially in parenting, to decipher the difference between like disciplining them mm-hmm. and creating boundaries.
Exactly.
And it's so hard to know which one is which and how to implement one and not the
right.
other. You know, that's hard.
It is hard. And so I think what we're looking for is places that are really invested in building student capacity mm-hmm. to really own and drive their own learning. And even little kids are very capable of doing a lot. Mm-hmm. And then over years, they just keep practicing and practicing and getting better and better. Mm-hmm. And we also have to accept that they're going to make mistakes and we have to help them learn from it. And so that's where the reflection and the coaching comes in, mm-hmm. where we really pause and think about what we just talked about or what we just did or what we just said and what we'd like to do better next time. Mm-hmm. And so I think I would ask those questions. And then I would also ask about the actual learning. Is it worksheet-based? Is it more hands-on-based? Mm-hmm. Are we taking real questions that kids have and their interests and really drawing the learning from that? Mm-hmm. Or is it a really defined set curriculum that's not moving regardless of
right.
who we are, where we are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what really struck me at the Montessori school was that the kids come in and they have their choice of all the different little activities. You know, the school is set up with all these different little, I mean, for lack of a better word, games or projects or whatever. And the kids can choose what they want to work on. And then it's just this evolving rotation of kids like doing one project, finishing it, and then moving on to the next one.
Exactly.
And that just felt like such a nice flow for me, as opposed to expecting all these kids to just sit down and watch a teacher or listen to a teacher instruct them on something. So yeah, I'm feeling really good about my decision so far. Was this something like, you have one kid, you were telling me before. When did you start to realize that this was a necessity? Like, were you a very aware parent and like very involved in this kind of approach when he was young? Or did this start to happen for you when he was grown up, you know?
Well, I was a teacher before I was a mom.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so I started to develop my philosophy and belief as a teacher through a lot of like trial and error and, you know, I think misdirected in some ways and things like that. And then, but I'll tell you, when you're a teacher and then you become a mom, the whole world changes.
Yeah.
Because being a mom and a teacher now, that's a totally different story.
Well, it's like the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Exactly.
Like, you can feel sympathetic towards someone, but it's not until you've actually gone through what they've gone through that you actually have real empathy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so when I started experiencing my own child at home and then thinking about what I wanted when I would send him to someone else, trust someone else with my child.
Yeah. So scary.
And ask them to partner with me in raising him, because that's what we really need schools to do, is partner with us.
I mean, if you think about it, they're with them pretty much half of their lives.
Yes.
I'm sending Sunny to school from 8:30 to 1:30 5 days a week. Like, that environment is having a profound effect on them.
A profound effect. And, and 8:30 to 1:30 will only happen for a short period of time, and then it will increase more and more, right? And so this is really our partner in raising our child. And once I put myself in that place, I really started to rethink everything that I did as a teacher and an educator.
Interesting.
And I think, I mean, I'm still the same person. I'm still deeply committed to kids and I'm deeply committed to their success. But I think I definitely became much more worried about us raising them as good, whole people and realizing that the academics come along with that and not just completely focused on the academic performance and the, you know, getting them ready for college and recognizing how intertwined those two pieces were. So I think that really changed things for me. And then it's interesting because my son goes to one of my schools now.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to be a parent and get mad at your school when you actually run the school. Because, you know, it's inevitable that as a parent, you're not going to be happy about something, or you're not going to like something, or you're going to hear something. And then I have to think, well, gosh, why did I do that as a school? And one of the reasons that I wrote this book is because I feel like parents and schools are so oftentimes not working together. And they're kind of parallel plane. You know, they're sort of side by side, but they're not And I really wanted to bring those two parts of my life together.
Yeah.
Because I think if parents and schools can really collaborate, we'll be so much better off and so much better for our kids.
Yeah. And I think it will cause less confusion because kids need normalcy, they need routine, they need like the same kinds of lessons from both people. So for me, I'm so looking forward to learning from the teachers at the school, because I am kind of lax when it comes to discipline and don't really have set routine and I'm not really consistent. Sometimes I say yes to things for him. Sometimes I say no. And I'm excited to get a game plan going so that we're doing the same things. And now a word from our sponsor. You guys, it's officially engagement season, which is also known as the most popular time to pop the question. I wanted to share this with you because I wanted to tell you about Zola. Zola is a registry website. They are so, so, so great. You can register for everything you could ever possibly want when you are about to get married. Anything from a kitchen tool you'd never thought you'd buy to maybe even like an Airbnb gift card. If budget were no option, what would you love to give as a wedding gift to a couple you know, or even to yourself?
They have all new chef-grade appliances for their kitchen, a lifetime supply of avocados, a puppy, a robot bartender. Yeah, whatever it is, couples can register for it on Zola. Attending a wedding is incredibly fun. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love like the first dance, the father-daughter dance, obviously the open bar, watching the cute little flower girls. It takes a lot of planning, though, to make these things happen. And Zola can make it so much easier for you as a guest to find all the information you need or find the perfect gift for the couple. That's why I really appreciate when the couple creates a wedding website with all the info I need all in one place. The venue, the dress code, the itinerary, the registry, everything. So all of you planning a wedding right now, listen up. Zola's websites are beautiful, they're easy to set up, and they're completely free. You guys should know that they are the highest rated registry of all time. They have free shipping and returns, free and easy exchanges, 20% off post-wedding discount, price matching, group gifting. You can register for gifts, experience, honeymoon funds, like I was saying, literally anything. Plus, they make beautiful, affordable invites and paper. You can shop your entire paper suite at Zola, from save the dates to invites and thank yous, all designed to match your wedding website. They'll also help you collect addresses and track online RSVPs with their free guest list manager. Zola has helped 1 million couples get married. I wish they were around when I was getting married. They are here to help you too. Go to zola.com/withwit today and use promo code SAVE50, that's SAVE50, to get 50% off your save the dates. You can also get a free personalized paper sample before you purchase. That's 50% off save the dates at zola.com/withwit with the promo code SAVE50. Enjoy. And now back to our conversation. What are some of the things that us parents can be doing with our kids at home to help foster this? Like some of the pillars of Summit that yeah. we can be doing as well.
It's such a great question. And we've created this organization called Prepared Parents because this is what parents ask us all the time. Like, yeah. what can I do at home? And oh, by the way, I'm super busy.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of time. Like, it needs to fit in 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, and so we're working really hard to help parents think about routines. And the key that you said there is routines, because when you do something as a routine, even if it's only 5 minutes a day, it ends up adding up. And over time, I mean, it's an incredible amount of development you can do. I'll tell you a fun story about my son. So when he was about 12, my husband and I started thinking, well, we have 6 years left with him. And one of the things that's important to us is healthy eating. And we cook a ton in our home. And we're like, you know, he can cook a meal a week, like for the family. And if he did Amazing. That for the next 6 years, he would leave us with a whole sort of repertoire of things he could make. Yeah. You know he can feed himself then when he leaves us. Yeah. And so we started doing this with him in just a routine, like one meal a week he was in charge of, and he got to pick what we were going to eat, and he would figure out the ingredients. And I didn't just throw him in there and say, you know, go make something. I like curated
a little sous chef.
And, yeah. I curated yeah. a set of recipes and made sure that they were doable. And, you know, and at first my husband and I made some mistakes. Like he would need help and we'd sort of jump in, and like next thing we were taking over and he was out of the kitchen. And then sometimes we would be two hands off and, you know, things are burning. But over time, he's gotten really good at it. And it's wow. just that diligence of like week after week after week. And so that's a bigger thing. But I would advise, think about the things you really value and care about. And mm-hmm. what could your child like practice over and over where that practice would add up to something really meaningful mm-hmm. by the time they enter adulthood.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that would be because I don't want to like
when your guy's pretty little still.
Yeah, yeah, he's 2 and a half. Yeah. So I try to think of things to do with him besides just playing with toys. And it's so hard for me to get creative. Mm-hmm. Like I'll bring out coloring books or Play-Doh or, you know, things like that. But I'm sort of at a loss for things to do with him that don't involve like just going to a park and playing or like yeah. a play gym or a museum. And I guess as he gets older,
your options will open up for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think you know, one thing at that age, for sure, having a lot of books around makes a big difference. And I'm sure you're doing that.
Yes.
But I do think before you know it, like, things will begin to open up. And I remember, you know, in that range, my son was obsessed with trains and bridges, you know, and then it moved on to Legos, and then it moved on, you know. And so I think, though, what you're bringing up is letting them sort of lead with what they're interested in, mm-hmm. and putting what you're talking about is letting him explore. So the fact that you're thinking about putting a bunch of different options in front of him is what we would call the first step towards figuring out what they care about. So expose them to a whole bunch of things.
Right.
Let them explore them. Mm-hmm. And then they'll pick some certain things that they want to follow and let them follow them mm-hmm. for a while, mm-hmm. for as long as that leads, and then be okay if they ended up leaving it,
right.
you know,
and
sort of the path is littered with a bunch of stuff that they leave behind, but mm-hmm. ultimately they sort of end up zeroing in on something. Oh, again, back to my son, we always tell the stories of our own kids, I think, but you know, one thing that's endured for him is he has this real interest in maps.
Interesting.
And he would draw maps, and then he loves geography and history, and so it connects to that. But then he creates these very intricate maps, and this one has persisted for year after year after year. And I always thought, like, where is this going? I don't even know if there's cartographers anymore in the world, you know? And I would think he's spending a lot of time on this.
Is this
and I
a
would
waste
get
of
worried.
His time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this past year, a good friend of his is writing a fantasy book and asked my son to make the map for the fantasy book. And if you look at fantasy books, they all have a map in them.
Yeah.
And he created this most amazing, beautiful map.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I would have had no idea where this was going.
Right. And it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter because it's a passion. And who knows where it's going. But I think sometimes as parents, we get so nervous and worried, like, oh, no, we have to have them in the right activity at the right,
right.
moment, or they're not going to get in the right school. And I think letting them follow their passion and their interests, and even without knowing it, is okay. Like, they're developing their identity that way.
I'm so excited to get there, because right now, when people ask me, like, what's Sunny like? I'm like, I don't know. It's so hard to tell. Like, he seems like just a 2.5-year-old, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he loves cars and trucks, and he's like, whenever he sees anything little, he calls it a baby and goes, oh, baby. Like, so I think that he has some compassion, you know, and sweetness. And it's just like, he's still so little. It's so hard to know everything that he's into to be able to like foster those interests. But like you said, as he grows older, I'll be able to tell
you
more.
Will.
But it is so important to like, especially now starting school, for people to stop themselves from comparing their kids, you know, development to somebody else's. And sometimes I even catch myself doing that. And when his teacher this morning just said, like, he's so smart, like he knows all the songs. And I'm like, oh, that's so great. My instinct is to be like, oh my God, like I have a smart kid, like he's gonna go to Yale. And then I'm like, wait a second, you're like,
don't buy into that.
Right, don't buy into it. And so, like, what's like a mantra that we can tell ourselves when we find ourselves like wanting to push our kids or comparing them to others?
Right. And I think that the story you're telling me is bringing up for me is we've had the benefit of working with some really amazing like learning scientists and psychologists at Summit, some of the best people in the world. So like Carol Dweck, who works on mindset, which most people have, and growth mindset, which most people have heard of. And so the story of the SMART label really has me thinking about her work, which says what we want our kids to believe is that achievement comes from hard work, mm-hmm. and that this idea of smart, you're not fixed. No one is fixed smart. You know, there's mm-hmm. all these different ways you can be smart, and there's all these different things you can know. And what we want, like, maybe he knows those songs because he practices them, mm-hmm. or because you're a musically inclined family and you have music playing a lot. Or, I mean, I'm sure there's some reason why it's not because he's just innately smart.
Right.
And what's really important is that he starts to figure out that hard work or that effort or that passion are what leads to him being good at something or mm-hmm. successful in something, because that will allow him to continue to grow. And so I think that's maybe the check on us is, it feels good when you're a parent and someone compliments your child, right? And I think sometimes we then try to chase that good feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're really focused on what's best for our child now and in the future, we think about, well, what will help them continue to grow and mm-hmm. develop. Mm-hmm. And it's putting in the work. It's, you know, learning the skills. It's practicing. It's all of that stuff that actually leads to that. Mm-hmm. And there's not a finite number of things that he's good at infinitely.
Right.
You know, there's an infinite number of things that are possible there. And so we don't want to close any doors.
Right. What would you say about like praising when they do something good? Like the other day at the park, he, you know, 2-year-old, it's very hard to share, but he was playing with someone else's toy and the family needed to go. So he gave back the toy and it was very easy. There was no fight. And so my reaction was like, oh my gosh, Sonny, that was so amazing. Like, you're such a good share. That was so sweet. Thank you for making that easy. And then I was like, wait, was that so overboard? Mm. Like, I don't know. I had this feeling of like, what am I to praise? And then what am I to just not pay attention to? I don't know. Yeah. It's conflicting.
I think praise is great. I think if you think about specifically what you thought was good about that. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, the idea that he was, you know, whatever your value is, that you were respectful and you respected that that was his toy and mm-hmm. you let him take it.
That's
was
what
great.
I was feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think being specific like that is mm-hmm. really, I think what the science would tell us is mm-hmm. the most effective thing, because mm-hmm. then he will hear, oh, it's that action. It's not that I am
just good at sharing.
Good. It's not
it's that
I'm
it's respectful
exactly.
to give a toy back to
exactly.
someone who owns it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that starts to click mm-hmm. over and over mm-hmm. and over again. And so it's not this, because if in another situation, then when he doesn't do that, then what does that say? Is he a bad sharer then? And we don't want to get into that situation. And mm-hmm. so it's more about like, what are my actions mm-hmm. doing and saying? And I can always change my actions, as opposed to, are you a good or bad person?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That leads me to this other thing that the Montessori school does, is that they make sure that when you're finished with your project, you put it away. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so important. And Timmy was like, Timmy is my husband. Mm-hmm. This is something that we've been working on. At first, when Sonny would start to do, he just wanted nothing to do with putting away. He wanted to play with something, leave the mess, and then not put it away. And so instead of just saying like, this is the right thing to do, we're working on like, this is what we have to do because someone else is going to want to play with it and it needs to be cleaned up for them. So it's all about like, it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of thought that has to go in how you speak to your child.
It is a lot of thought.
But it is so
important. Worth it. It's worth it in the end. It really is.
Yeah. So you started the website how long ago?
It launched with the book.
Amazing. Okay.
And it really was, the preparedforsuccess.org website came into being because we had so many parents that we work with who said to us, what do we do at home? And how do we help our kids? And how do we take these lessons home? And mm-hmm. so the website is really trying to bring parents together and share with them simple, easy daily routines, weekly routines that they can do with their kids, whether they're driving in the car or they're walking to the park or mm-hmm. right before bedtime is sometimes a nice time because your child, you know, you sort of catch them in that moment. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty simple, basic routines, but effectively, they ask families to just help their kids reflect on what's happened. So think back. And then plan forward. So we always want to be thinking about that as well. And these are just some basic good rhythms that we can get in as families that help our kids ultimately develop those skills of self-direction mm-hmm. and reflection and collaboration that end up helping them figure out who they are.
Right.
And ultimately prepare them to be fulfilled people.
Happy people.
Yeah.
So what are some of the specific things that maybe I could, with a 2.5-year-old, start to implement into our life?
Well, I can imagine, like, my guess is you probably have a bedtime routine at night. And I think with a 2.5-year-old, that's like a really nice moment to do that. Mm-hmm. And just even starting the practice of, like, having your 2.5-year-old, just even think about, like, what was your favorite part of the day? Hmm. And, you know, was there a part of the day that you didn't like as much? And some families develop little code words about this. So they have like petals and thorns,
right, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then the next question is, well, how do you do the part of your day that you like the most? Is that going to happen tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And if so, how? Mm-hmm. And the part that you didn't like as much, how could that be better tomorrow? Mm-hmm. So even just like simple questions like that. And at first, a 2.5-year-old will really struggle to especially think about the next day.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Sunny would understand or even know how to respond to
that. But you'd be surprised. So we have one of our teammates who I've taught with forever and is an amazing educator has a child that age. And at first he was so frustrated because he's like, she's just not getting it. Mm-hmm. We're like, Adam, give her a moment, right? But after about 2 or 3 months of sort of this practice, he's like, she's getting it now. And she actually thought about tonight, how she really wants to do the water table tomorrow, and she didn't get to do the water table today. And so, great. We talked about, well, if you want to do the water table, what do you need to do to make that happen? Well, I need to tell Juana that I want to do the water table. And it seems simple, but that just is the beginning of empowerment, even at that early age, where they're really planning for the day that they want and the learning they want.
Right.
And they
really are understanding you, but they haven't been able to, they're not able to express it yet, but you just have to kind of like give them the verbiage.
And practicing over and over again.
Yeah, that's a really good tip.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Great.
Amazing. Okay, well,
thank you so much
for coming. Where can we find you? Give us your website again and all your social.
You can find us at preparedforsuccess.org. And prepared for success, Instagram and Facebook. Great.
Okay, awesome.
You can tell I don't do that part.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you loved this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love to hear what you think and anything more or even less you'd want to hear about. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. If you want to know more about what I'm up to, you can find me on Instagram at Whitney E. Port, my website, whitneyport.com, and my YouTube channel, Whitney Port. Peace in the streets.